right, yeah. We'll be in touch.
On, but yeah.
All right.
Oh, yes, and welcome to the debrief. It's Dave O'Neill here with a absolute comedy legend. I say comedy legend all the time, but Judith Lucy is. Hi, Judith.
And what does that really mean? Just that I'm still doing it.
Yeah.
And I'm alive and I'm still doing it because I have no other option.
Well, that's one of my... Someone asked me, I know it was one of my, what would you do? And I said, well, I could go back to teaching, but I never actually taught. So you qualified
now? No, I did 2 years of a BA where I fucking majored in theatre arts. I obviously just didn't want a job at all.
You could just... Yeah, what could you do? There's not
nothing,
much...
Nothing. It's this or nothing.
Well, I reckon once you were saying tonight you're 50.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm 53. Well, there's no... I can't do anything else.
No, unless I go back to being a sandwich hand, and that's, you know, that's lost some of its magic. I mean, boy, what I could do with a chicken schnitzel. But yeah. I think those days are gone.
Well, you know what?
Sorry, Dave, I was going to say, but good on us for actually still...
Doing it. Yeah, there's a lot of people who have dropped out.
I bet if we went through a few names of people who were around when we started, I mean, yeah, there aren't that many of us left.
There's not that... No, people ask me, when I reckon you started before... You know, I can remember seeing you before I was a comedian.
Good God.
I went to the Hilton Comedy Club.
Oh, my God.
Which was in
You've
a basement.
Just opened up a chapter in my life that I prayed I would never have to think about again.
Because I, you know, probably like you, I hadn't seen that much stand-up.
No.
Because I wasn't that much around.
Same, yeah, of course.
And you're from Perth, which is even more.
Exactly. I'd never seen stand-up in my life. I'd seen, like... In fact, I don't even think I did that until I came to Melbourne. Like a Steve Martin video, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I'd seen stand-ups on Hey Hey.
Yeah.
I remember seeing Franklin Ajai on Hey Hey. And
yeah,
really
right.
Funny.
But I mean, I'd seen Los Trios Ring Barkers.
I'd seen them too.
And I'd seen The Found Object.
Same here.
On Recovery, maybe?
Yeah, no, I reckon Big Gig.
Yeah, actually, yes, did watch The Big Gig.
I reckon Recovery wasn't... Recovery was definitely around, but... Oh, was it?
I feel like I saw The Found Objects on like a Saturday morning thing.
There was The Factory before Recovery.
Yeah, maybe it was The Factory.
Alex Papps and Andrew Dado.
Yeah, maybe it was The Factory. And I would have seen them on Hey Hey as well, I reckon.
I went on a band. I was in a band and we went on The Factory, hosted by Andrew Dado. And he said to me, we did an interview. This is before I was a comedian. It was in like 1988. And he turned to me and he said, hey, mate, remember I do the funny stuff around here? And we're still waiting, Andrew. Anyway, I went to the Hilton Comedy Club because I wanted to do comedy, but I thought I'd been to like a work function at The Last Laugh, and I'd seen comedians on scout camps. I used to get comedians on scout camps.
Yeah, right.
Bizarrely, older scouts. We were older. Anyway, so I went to the Hilton, and there was you, Ross Daniels.
Oh yes.
Who was really funny.
Yes.
And Lee Ross.
Yes.
Who I thought.
Yes.
I thought he was brilliant, and then. But he just did old jokes.
Yeah.
And juggled and shit.
Yeah.
And then I saw him, because he was an American guy for 99.9% of the people listening that wouldn't know who Lee Ross is, who lived here though.
Yeah. And I remember went on to do a one-man show which involved an enormous paper mache dolphin, because he went off and did some gig in Byron Bay, swam with the dolphins, and reckoned he'd had an experience with a dolphin that had just changed his life. So I was sorry I never saw the one-man show with a paper mache dolphin. But after that, I never heard of him again. And the other person that I did the Hilton with was Mark Price. You might remember him as Skippy, Michael J. Fox's best friend from Family Ties. I slept with him.
You slept with him, that's right.
Yep, I slept with Skippy from Family Ties. And I remember, because I did that with the late, great Linda Gibson.
Yes.
And I remember Skippy's manager was like this full-on American comedy guy, you know.
I went to that show. That was at the comedy club.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went to that show. And his stand-up was forced, though.
Oh, it was pretty bad. And I think would have had a whole bunch of writers
and,
as well.
Yeah, yeah. And he would come on and the mic would come out of the cord.
Yeah,
and he'd do it every night, though. And he'd go, oh, this reminds me of... And it was fake impro.
Yes.
So he pretended that the cord would fall out. But I remember seeing the tech set it up beforehand. Because, you know, I was doing comedy by that stage, I reckon. And then and he goes, oh, imagine that with your penis, and you did all this material about
it. Like, oh, my God. But his manager was great. Like, his manager sort of knew everyone, and I remember having a conversation with him about, remember the movie Punchline?
I love Punchline. Sally Field. And
Tom Hanks. Yeah. Well, he said to me, Sally personally goddamn fucked that film. He was like, Tom Hanks went to all the comedy clubs. He did all the research. Sally, couldn't get Sally to do it. But he was the sort of guy, I have about three things that he said that I'll never forget. Because he met, I can't even remember how, but he met my brother and his first wife. They were over visiting from Perth. And she was just really quiet. So he just leant over like half a table and yelled down at her, hey, what's the matter with you? Are you some kind of deaf mute? He just had lines like that. She was talking about her brother finding it difficult getting a job. What's the problem? Read a book, get a job. What's the deal with the sandwiches here? You guys get one piece of meat? In New York, there are sandwiches the size of your goddamned heads.
He's probably still working, that
guy. He probably is. He was hilarious.
I don't know what happened to Skippy.
Yeah. And his dad had been like an old vaudeville guy. Like, his dad wound up doing, ocean liners and stuff. So maybe that's what Skippy's doing now.
I bet. And the thing about Lee Ross is that, so I saw him with you, and then I saw him busking at St Kilda Market. And it just threw, I'm like, but that's an international comic. Like, 6 months later, I saw him. What's he doing busking?
But that's how he started, I think.
I know, yeah, memory. He was. You could tell.
Yeah, full circle.
But I still remember some of your material. You did jokes about going to a party. Remember that bit that you did a bit about going to a party?
Oh, did it involve people, nuts?
Yeah, there'd be people in the corner doing this and there'd be other people doing this. It was a long time. I'm talking, this is 30 years ago.
Yeah, it would have been close to 30 years ago.
Because it would have been 89 or 90. That would have
so been. How long did you think about doing comedy before you did it?
Oh, no, I was in bands and I thought about it, but I never thought it was easy to do. I didn't know how to get involved, you know what I mean? That's why I went to comedy clubs and had a look. Whereas in a band, we all form bands where I grew up.
Yeah.
My brothers were in bands. But anyone getting to comedy was a bit very unusual.
But with the band, did you kind of go, this is just going to be fun? Or did you think, I'm going to be famous?
No, look, I remember when the band broke up, a guy called Chris Saray, who used to hang, played another band, he said, how will Dave O'Neill become famous now? Because I wanted fame, obviously.
Right.
And so, no, you know what happens with bands? It's a little bit like comedy. You start off thinking you're a great band, then you go and play with other bands. Like, I remember we supported Boom Crash Opera.
Oh, yeah.
And they just started, one of their guys went to that same high school as us, and we watched them and went, oh, they're like a proper band. They got like proper songs. We're not as good as them.
Captain Coco?
Yeah, that's right. You've got a memory. Oh, my God. But,
How long did you do that for?
Oh, no, we started when we were in Scouts. I was in that band for like 7 or 8 years.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was just one of those things we started. We were teenagers. Then we all moved out of home. We all lived in a shared house. We played gigs. You'd meet girls. And it was good fun, you know. We'd go on tour, but we were never that good. We were never that good.
But original?
Songs? Yeah, we're all originals. Yeah, played all originals. But that sort of got me into comedy because I used to be funny on stage in the band.
Yeah, what did you play at bass? Right. You were like the Greedy Smith.
Yes, I was like Greedy Smith. Yes, exactly. And he was one of my heroes, of course.
Well, he was very funny.
He was funny, wasn't he? And so, yeah, so that got me on stage and then got me into comedy, I reckon. But I remember doing gigs where comedians would come on and do stand-up, like Slim Whittle would come out as the Midnight Oil roadie. So he would come out dressed as a roadie and with oils on his back, and he'd be carrying a speaker. Oh man, he had balls. And he would just get up and go, oh, we're not fucking playing here, fuck this joint, and just do a routine about being a roadie.
And how would it go?
No, really well.
Wow. Because I mean, I think we've both done gigs with bands.
Nightmare.
And usually it's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, it's the worst thing. It's the worst. So where did you do your first gig then?
Last Laugh.
Yeah.
So I did. I reckon I was one of the last to go through La Joke.
I did La Joke.
Well, I know you did because that's when I met you.
I bet that's right.
And I will always remember because I was emceeing, and you know, I introduced myself and I said, "Oh, Dave, how would you like me to bring you on?" And your words were, "I don't give a stuff."
Oh, really?
And I liked you immediately.
Oh, there you go.
I thought, that's the ticket. That's the attitude to have at this place.
Yeah, right. That you must have started 88 or 89.
89 I started.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So, Denise would have been... No, she started...
Well, the Natural Normans were around.
That's right.
So that was Linda Gibson, Denise Scott, Lynn McGranger and Sal Upton, and they would, of course, dress up as guys sing really sleazy songs. And because it was the last laugh and people would drink to the point of vomiting through their noses, by the end of the night, people really thought they were men. So the number of women that tried to pick up Linda Gibson when they were just blind...
Yeah, right. I've got to say that, the female comics, like yourself, Linda was so friendly to young comics, whereas some of the guys were not friendly at all.
Yeah, oh boy, I remember that. I so remember that. And I remember the ones who were nice, like the Found Objects were lovely.
Yeah.
They were great. Rosethorn was great. Lovely. Brian Nankervis was great. All the people you would sort of guess, actually.
Yeah, but some of the others, I don't want to mention names, they're unfriendly.
No, and it was like once you earned your stripes, they were kind of okay. But for that first couple of years, it was tough.
Yeah. But I started running a gig and I'd pay the money and then they were friendly.
God, that would have made a difference. What gig were you running?
The South Morang Hotel. Way out in the burbs. Yeah, we would have asked you. I don't know if you did it.
I don't think I did.
No, did Linda do it? I reckon Linda might have done it. I tried to get everyone to do it, but a lot of people would say, like Mark Little did it, for example.
I did everything though. Those were the days where I just said yes to everything. And I also believed, like, you know, even if you knew it was going to be a nightmare, I thought, oh, this is what makes you a great comedian. Yeah. I now think that's a pile of shit.
Yes.
But for several years, I thought, no, just make yourself do it.
Yeah, look, but some situations, as you know, you can't turn it around. It's just bad.
Absolutely.
It's physically bad. The people, if they're drunk, if they're not there for comedy.
Although, don't you reckon audiences have changed?
I reckon they have changed.
They're
not as brutal.
Some of the abuse you would cop. I'm sure there are places where you would, but especially if it's like anywhere near a city. Most audiences, the worst they'll do is start talking.
Yes.
But you don't get the kind of,
I still do a lot of footy clubs and they're even better.
Yeah, right.
They're like well run and it's 50-50 men and women. Whereas I remember doing them in the early 90s, it was just all blokes and it was horrible.
Yeah.
Like just, you felt scared.
Yeah, you did. I remember doing some venue with Anthony Morgan and the following week it had been burnt down. I mean, they were the sorts of gigs I was saying yes to. So,
I remember Morgs was a big presence on the scene.
Oh, man. He was the best. He was.
I remember at the Star and Garter. I remember talking to you a lot at the Star and Garter.
I used to do the Star and Garter a lot.
So I used to hang around there. I used to do it too, which was a great venue run by Bob and Franklin and Jamone.
Yeah.
And I remember... Anthony Morgan went on and then all these people like Magda, all those people turned up and watched him. I'm like, oh my God, there's all those people from the TV watching Anthony Morgan.
He was the king.
Oh, he was the best.
Well, I remember a story where it was upstairs at La Joke and I was being mercilessly heckled by this couple.
Because that too, La Joke and Last Love could be very hairy.
Oh, terrible. Oh. And often like Christmas parties and bucks nights and hens nights and just... But this woman, she stopped heckling after a while, but then she just kept talking really loudly. I remember saying to her, what's your problem? And basically she said, my boyfriend thinks that you look like a lesbian.
Yeah, right.
And anyway, then I brought Anthony on, and somehow Anthony had managed to find some shaving cream and a paint scraper and walked on stage and started shaving under his armpits and just went, you know, because I just don't want that whole lesbian question hanging over me. and that turned into a bit of his.
Yeah, right. See? He's wasted in Tasmania.
Well, yeah, but you know what? He might just be a happier person.
Yeah, exactly. He did support me down there a few years ago, and he was still on point. He was fantastic.
Oh, he's a very smart guy.
Some guy had an iPad, and he goes, what's that? It's sitting down the front, this kind of nerd. What are you got a giant phone, mate? It's like, it's called an iPad. What? An iPad? I don't know if Anthony was making it up, but it was like he'd never seen one
yeah,
before.
Yeah, he would have been making it up.
He was making it up? Yeah, yeah. I reckon. And then he got him to set an alarm. I'm only doing 25. Set the alarm. Then, of course, he barely said hello and it went off.
Yeah,
you know? And he's
yeah.
Like, oh, but, you know.
Well, that hasn't changed. Remember when he and Fleety, like, cheese shop, would kind of like alternate and it would be like who would be, you know, that people were getting up to doing like 2 hours and longer.
And they're bragging like about
enough.
Yeah, no, that's no good.
It was no good.
Anyway, we were at the Grandview tonight and you were fantastic.
Oh, thanks, Dave. It was a treat. It was great.
You attracted such a big crowd.
I tell you what, you want a room full of drunk middle-aged women, I'm the chick you call.
Oh, yeah. You and, you know, Denise Scott.
Oh, yeah.
And Kitty Flanagan.
Yep.
Similar crowds.
Well, I tell you what, we're all 50 and above. Oh, Kitty, I'm not sure how old Kitty is, but she's in the ballpark.
She's around, yeah. But isn't it interesting because you must, you know, I saw on Facebook, because I put ads on Facebook, people organise it on the page, and it's all women doing the organising. Because the guy told me once who worked at Facebook, female comics and female, like someone that appeals to women, like, say, James Rain, do very well on Facebook.
Yeah, right.
Because the women do all the organising.
I don't engage. I'm not. I'm
no, you're not on social media,
are
you?
Not my thing.
No, that's good. You're not on social media.
Are you?
Yeah, only because.
But for stuff like this.
Yeah. Work stuff and.
Are you on Twitter?
I'm on Twitter and I'm on Facebook, but that's it.
So no Instagram.
No, but you know, people tell me, Hughesy tells you Instagram's more positive.
Yeah, I've Twitter's heard
very negative.
Too. Yeah, I don't ever want to find out.
Yeah,
I just have no interest.
You know, the first email I ever received was from a troll, and it was negative. So that's an indication of the. I was writing for Beat Magazine, and the editor goes, "Put your email. You got an email address?" And I just got one. And put it on the bottom and get some feedback. The first email I get. Overweight, lightweight. Do you realise every TV show you get on, you get fatter and unfunnier? And
that was like, man.
That was my first interaction with the internet. So that says something, I reckon.
You don't forget miss it. Because I, you know, like I remember when people, you know, had to take the time to sit down and write your hate mail. And I got my fair share of that.
Yeah. Green guide letters or...
Oh, no, just much more personal, actually. I remember when Linda and Scotty and I did a show at the Town Hall and this letter turned up. And, of course, Scotty and Linda are like, oh, Judith's getting fan mail.
Yeah.
And I just knew before I'd even opened that letter that it was not going to be fan mail. And it was from an elderly woman who was an extra on Cracker Jack.
Oh, my God.
The Mick Malloy movie.
Yeah, you're in.
And just said, I just wanted you to know that I was one of the extras and all of them and the crew despised you. That was good of her.
Thanks for that.
Yeah. And then there was another time I got a letter to a theatre which basically told me that they wanted me to die alone.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. You're best not engaging.
No.
Are you going to turn it in?
I'm going to turn it off, Sonia. Yeah. That's no wonder you're not on social media.
Yeah, forget it.
But so tonight, was that mainly new material?
Yeah.
That's incredible.
So, you know.
So you're working up a show for festivals.
I am working up a show.
But that's like, it seemed like you were doing older material.
The first couple of minutes, I've been doing over the last couple of months. The second half I'd done once, and the last half I hadn't done before.
That's incredible.
So
do you get very nervous as you're approaching those new bits?
Yes.
Do you ever bail, or do you just go, no, fuck it, I'm
I don't here. Anymore. I used to. But now I just go, fuck it. Now I go,
and also, a room like that, they paid $15 to come in. They're a great crowd.
And it went well. There was a line that got nothing, and you know what it's like. If you just say that was shit.
You said that was shit, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
People are usually, that's fair enough.
This is where you live around here. This is an interesting place. I've been here for a while. I wouldn't say where it is, but it's downtown. So, yeah, that's it. Yeah, well,
first right after the railway
bridge. Well, I think your show's going to be excellent if that's what you're doing.
Oh, thanks, Dave. You know what it's like. You never know. Do you get nervous when you do new material?
Yeah, well, I mean, that room I host.
And that's perfect and for doing it. So, sorry, it's actually the next one.
Yeah. Sorry. And so I do new stuff there all the time and just go, sorry, I'm waiting for this car to go past. And I'm just like, oh, well, that didn't work. Here's Judith Lucy or whoever, you know. And so, you know. But the problem is you can do stuff there once, but then, oh, no, then I do repeat. I keep repeating it, and I must get sick of it, but whatever. They're not all regulars, though, with that room.
Yeah.
You get a turnover, actually.
Do you get so many regulars, though? Like, you knew the people down the front.
I knew a lot of them, yeah. But a lot of them don't come every week. They come every 5 or 6 weeks, sort of thing.
That must be kind of nice, though.
Yeah, it is nice, and they're all pretty supportive, really.
Yeah, well, of course. Dave, I am yet to meet a person that doesn't like Dave O'Neill.
I did a gig the other day.
Anywhere he is great.
Okay, well, I'll just go. I'll just drive down here and I've got to ask you some more questions. Hang on. I'll just. What is that lit up? Is that a bar? What is that?
What's that? Yeah, this is Carlisle Street.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah, right. Sorry, I'll turn around. I did a gig the other day and this guy comes out and he goes, never a fan of yours, but you won me over. I'm like, yeah, thanks, mate. But I suppose, you know, at least I won him over.
Yeah, see? So. Better than the alternative.
God, grilled. I don't like grilled. Do you like grilled?
I haven't been into a grilled for years.
Yeah, I don't know. They put too many herbs on their chips.
Yeah, all right. That's a big criticism.
Well, they do. They drain it with rosemary and stuff.
You just keep it simple. I just want salt.
I do. I love salt.
Yeah, I love salt.
Look, you're listening to the Debrief with Judith Lucy. You're back on the Debrief with Judith Lucy, and she's preparing for a solo show coming to all states. Are you going to do most of the festivals? And,
yep.
And
hauling my sorry ass around this great brown land.
Yeah, but obviously there's a big demand for you.
Well, you know what? So I've just finished touring a show with the wonderful Denise Scott called Disappointments.
Yeah, which my mother-in-law Betty went to see.
Thanks, Betty.
Which I saw your other one with Betty, and we got picked on.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Because Denise has met Betty, and we walked in a bit late, and oh, there's David. You're coming late with the. Denise's got good memory. His mother-in-law Betty, but she said the show was fantastic.
Oh well, we had a great time doing it. But I was talking to my manager, and yeah, I always say I know I've got a manager, but so is Coles. It's not that exciting.
Yeah, exactly.
But And he said, yeah, you know, he said, I know the numbers. I know how many tickets you sell. I know how many tickets Scotty sells. And he said, but this show, you know what? You two have tapped into the Menopause the Musical audience. So, Dave, I think you can imagine that made me both happy and sad all at the same time.
Weren't you the biggest ticket seller at the festival?
We tied with People's Choice with Will Anderson.
Right. He sells a lot of tickets, doesn't he?
Yep.
Yeah, wow, okay.
And, of course, this year it was very deserved, Lena and Woodley. Did you see their show?
No. I went overseas for the Comedy Festival, but I want to see it. They're gonna do it next year regionally.
Yeah.
So I'm quite happy to go to Ballarat.
It's fantastic.
You know, my partner is a big... when I met her, she's like, oh, she was a big Found Objects fan. In fact, she got kissed by Frank. They used to do this stunt where they get a member of the audience.
Yeah, I think I remember. Yeah,
and you have to lie there and Frank would bring you back to life by
kissing
you.
Yes.
Yeah, so she did. She volunteered for that one night. So, of course, when I met her, she's like, oh, Found Objects, they're the best thing ever. I'm like, oh, yeah. But I used to be a fan of Melody Lords. Remember Melody Lords?
Yeah, I remember Melody Lords. Well, of course, we're not saying where we are, but Jeremy Stanford lives in this very street.
Oh, does he? The lead singer of Melody Lords. They were a great 70s cover band, comedy cover band.
Yeah.
So I would say to her, I hadn't seen the phone, obviously. I'm like, oh, no, I'm more Melody Lords. And actually, I was more Lost True String Barkers, too. I love Lost True String Barkers.
Yeah, I love them as well.
But then we went and saw, she took me to see Found Objects, and I'm just like, oh, yeah, no, they're pretty good. You know, doing stuff when Mum's down the shops. And,
yeah, Punt Road. The tennis match.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. But so doing a solo show, though, do you find it... I mean, doing a show with Denise, it's good because you've got someone there, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you find it lonely doing a solo show?
Well, you know what it's like.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
I find it quite lonely because you come backstage... The tech, and you go to the tech.
And there's you.
And the tech comes back and goes, yeah, that was pretty good. Anyway,
yeah.
Look at that, you know. Yeah. Oh, it's Barker coming in a minute. Or, or whoever, and and it's just like, oh,
and if it's a bad show, least you can have a few wines with the other person. But if it's just you, it's just you. You know, you just skulk back to your hotel room and
it's depressing.
Watch some Netflix and drink too much. And if you're anything like me, you just eat all the snacks in the minibar and just wake up and have another reason for loathing yourself the next day.
But then you get up the next night and it's traditionally a better show the next night.
Yes, that does seem to be how it goes. Or we would have taken our own lives before now.
But have you ever thought, like, you know, Kitty Flanagan...
Of killing myself? Sure, all the time. Might happen tonight.
But no, you had a good gig. You'll be on a high.
You're right. I won't kill myself tonight. Thank you, Dave.
But will you go through notes and look at what you did tonight and go tick, cross?
Yeah, I recorded it.
Oh, you recorded
it? I recorded. I listened back. That's a good idea. I make notes. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Get with it. Get with the program, man.
Yeah, I should be
doing it. Get your smartphone out.
You're right. Oh, my God. Now, I've got some questions that I ask everyone on this show.
All right. Are we nearly there? Because, you know, I haven't had dinner and I really need a drink.
Okay. This is it. After this is it. So I ask everyone these questions.
Sure.
What went well tonight and why in your gig?
You
haven't had dinner. It's 10 to 11.
Yeah, I know. See, my brain just isn't functioning. I'm happy to say hit the target a few times.
You
with
did.
The old punchlines.
You did. You're a very good joke writer.
Yeah, but I also, you know what, I am such a girly swat. Like, I really do rewrite and rewrite.
You do your rewrite.
And I go over it and over it and over it.
Denise told me this once about you.
Timing down.
Yes.
Because I reckon a lot of it's just, as you would know, it's just the timing. So, like, people who go out and impro on stage, you know, people who work their bits out on stage, I am the polar opposite.
Yeah, you go, okay, that's interesting because, you're very word. That every word's in its place.
Yes, it's really precise.
And so what didn't go well then?
Oh, there was a particular gag that I remember commenting on, I'm going to have to have a little... Oh, no, I nearly
you
had
said,
it.
Oh, I won't be doing that again.
Yeah.
I've got it.
It was the joke about a guy I was engaged to, and I said he stopped working... depressed. We stopped having sex. I said it was kind of like living with an unemployed housemate who you vaguely remembered going down on you once.
That's
not so well. That didn't go down so well.
Yeah. And you think, anyway. Yeah, I thought it was, would you try that again?
No,
okay.
No, that's gone. You know when you just get a resounding silence?
Yeah.
It's like, that's gone. I mean, there are sometimes you'll get, you know what it's like, you'll get a half.
Yes.
And you'll think...
Oh, there's something in it.
Yeah, there's something in it, and maybe I kind of fucked the timing of that a bit, and that's worth another run.
Yeah, do you have a joke that you just hang on to, and then eventually it comes good?
No.
Sometimes you're pretty ruthless.
I am pretty ruthless, because, the audience, they're the biggest editors. But, we've all got a joke in a show, I reckon.
That we like,
and we just hang on to it because we like it.
It worked once.
And, and you usually have to comment on it. In fact, on the fact that you hang on to it and the audience doesn't like it. And even then, eventually, I reckon I always let them go. But
Right. Ruthlessness.
Yeah.
And were there any organisational hazards that got in the way?
Organisational hazards?
Well,
meaning...
just, I got these questions off the internet. So, like, the staging, the... they're all very friendly audience, actually.
They're a lovely audience. And, you know, it's just... God... we've both got a bit of experience.
Yeah.
Not my first day at the rodeo.
No.
So, you know, it's the sort of room where you have to obviously make sure you keep eye contact. You know, you keep moving around.
Yes.
So you keep eye contact with everyone.
Yes.
But no, I thought it was a good room.
Yeah. And how can we do better next time?
You can pay me more money, Dave.
Thought 150 was fair.
Yeah, well. 30 years. Show some respect.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Now, we... drop in a song at the end. Don't worry, we're not going to play it now. What sort of music do you like? Because you're a bit of a music fan, aren't you?
Yes, we've bumped into each other at a couple of alt country gigs over the years. I love alt country too.
So you're like a Wilco fan. Jayhawks fan.
Oh, I love the Jayhawks.
I love the Jayhawks. They're one of my. I saw them, and I saw the two main guys tour once. They played at the East Brunswick Hotel, and they played Blue.
Played,
Blue on?
play Blue for me.
Yeah, because they were. You know who else is a big Jayhawks fan? Rusty from the Scared Little Guys. He was there.
Ah, that would make sense.
Yeah, he loves the Jayhawks. But it's very rare to find a Jayhawks fan. But they are one of the best country bands. Well, you know, because they're not, people think country, it's daggy, but they're cool.
Yeah, they are cool. I mean, look, we're cool. So, obviously, it just follows.
They still tour, but they never come to Australia.
Yeah, that's annoying. I wish I had seen them.
They do the blues. That one year, they were on the Blues Fest poster. Oh, my God, I'm going to go. But, of course, the Blues Fest is during the Comedy Festival.
Yes.
And then they dropped off the poster and they didn't come.
Okay, that's annoying.
All right, here's the Jayhawks. Thanks, Judith.
Thanks, Dave.
Love the Jayhawks. They are the best. Love Judith Lucy and her show. Don't look for her on social media, all right?
No, but, don't.
Well, you know, I'm sure your manager, the Coles guy, will have.
Yeah, there's an official page.
There's an official page. Someone administrates that.
Someone does that. So if I'm doing a gig, it'll be on there.
There'll be big ads and stuff. You'll have a tram in Melbourne. There'll be a billboards in Brisbane.
Yeah, there'll be a blimp.
There'll be a blimp in Perth, probably, your hometown.